Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the meditation today you already heard read. It's the story of the prodigal son. Many people call it the story of the loving father. And we're going to be looking at this story in regards to what confession absolution is all about. We're at the end of a sermon series right now. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the powerful proclamation that God makes upon us in our baptism. He tells us that we're redeemed by him, that we belong to him, that we're his prized possession, that we're the apple of his eye. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Last week, Pastor Tim had a powerful sermon about what the Lord's Supper is all about and why it's significant in our lives, and that we celebrate when we come to the Lord's Supper, and we remember what God has done for us in Christ Jesus through the Lord's Supper, and we're nurtured and strengthened in the faith through the Lord's Supper. And when we come to church and we confess our sins, we're absolved through the Lord's Supper. That's what we heard last week. How many of you remember that message? And so today we talk about the third way that God comes to us with his gifts. It's a thing called confession and what? Absolution. It's one of the things that Luther kept. As a matter of fact, I had a sermon a couple years ago about what Luther kept from the Roman Catholic Church that's rooted in the early church. And he kept baptism, he kept the Lord's Supper, he kept the proclamation of the word, and he kept the liturgy. And a very important part of the liturgy is what we call confession and absolution. And what I'm going to be talking about today is the powerful impact confession and absolution ought to have on every one of us. But so many times we come to church and we say the words without really thinking about them, and we hear the words from the pastor without really embracing them and appreciating them and understanding how powerful confession and absolution really can be in our lives. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking today about why do we do this and how does it impact me personally. And for us to understand the powerful impact of confession and absolution, we go to this wonderful text, the story of the prodigal son, and we pick it up at the beginning. Father had two sons, and one son said, Father, give me my share of the estate. He shouldn't have really asked for that until later, but he wanted it now because he wanted to spend it now. And he didn't really appreciate what he had in his relationship with his father. And so he said, give me my share of the estate. And a few days later, he went out. And he spent it, and he squandered it on wild and rebellious living. And pretty soon, he didn't have a dime to his name. There was a famine in the land. He had no job. He had no money. And so he ended up getting a job feeding pigs. But nobody would give him anything to eat. And he desired to eat the little pods, the seeds that the pigs were eating. But nobody would give him, the Bible says, anything. You would say that the prodigal son had hit rock bottom. Amen? It's pretty bad. No place to stay, no place to live, nothing to eat. He had hit rock bottom. There is a little bit of a prodigal in every one of us. We come to church, and then we leave. And we may not run away. We may not rebel against God to the point where we don't believe in him anymore, but we find ourselves sinning against him, sometimes deliberately and sometimes in weakness. We find ourselves having idols in our life or taking God's name in vain or not honoring the Sabbath consistently or not respecting authority or harboring hatred towards someone else, or having immoral thoughts, or saying immoral things, or heaven forbid, carrying out sexual immorality. We sometimes find ourselves doing those kinds of things. Maybe carrying out a dishonest business deal, making fun of other people behind their back, not seeing people in the best light, but picking out their faults and their weaknesses and their shortcomings and their sins. Maybe having a sinful desire of coveting what someone else has and doing whatever we can to obtain it. Maybe harboring anger or wrath or malice or slander or abusive speech. Maybe finding ourselves being unkind, unloving, and forgiving. Unkind, unloving, and unforgiving. Oh, yes. There is a little bit of a prodigal in every one of us. How many of you at one time or another would say, yep, I'm a prodigal? Raise your hand. Okay? And if you don't raise your hand, you're lying. We are prodigals. Every one of us. Oh, again, I want to say it once again. Doesn't mean that we run away from our relationship with God. It doesn't mean we reject the claims of Christ. We just pretty much put God in a box. You're over there. I'm over here. I'm going to do my own thing. And we pick up the story once again. The prodigal had hit rock bottom. Yeah, he had. And he realized, oh my goodness. You know, I look at my hired servants that I work with my dad, and they have plenty to eat. And here I am starving to death. I know what I'll do. I'll go back home. And I'll tell my dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Dad, you've got hired men, and they have plenty to eat, and they have a place to stay. I don't desire to be your son anymore. Just make me one of your hired men. He had his speech memorized. We memorize confession too, don't we? He was remorseful. He was penitent. And when we come to church on a Sunday morning as prodigals returning home, oh, my friends, we ought to be penitent too. Remorseful. We come into this place, this holy place of God, and when we've carried out devious and sinful acts during the week, we come, and some people have said, doesn't matter how well or how bad you preach. Doesn't really matter whether I receive the sacrament or not. Just being here in the presence of God, seeing the stained glass windows, seeing the cross, singing the hymns, hearing the proclamation of God's word, yes, receiving the sacrament, I need to be restored. I need to come home. I need to hear words of proclamation of forgiveness once again. And so we come into this place and we confess our sins. And we say something like this, I, a poor, miserable sinner. Did you hear that? I heard one person say, I don't want to be called a poor, miserable sinner. And I said, why not? That's what we are. I am poor. By the way, I'm getting to the good part. Just hang in there with me, okay? I know this part sucks. You know, this is tough to hear. I know that, okay? The good news is coming. Bear with me. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee and justly deserve thy temporal and, yes, eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy for the sake of the innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. We say that, and some of you might say, now, wait a minute, Pastor, you know, you're coming down pretty hard on me. At least I'm not, at least what? Folks, this isn't confession and comparison. Comparing ourselves to other people. At least I'm not as bad as he is. Or at least I don't sin like she does. Or at least I don't have the lifestyle like they do. No, this is an opportunity for us to understand that we sin against God personally every day, And as restored prodigals, we come back and we want to be restored into fellowship. We want to hear the words of grace. We don't compare our sin to others. We don't say, oh, at least I'm not like him. No, Satan would love for us to minimize our sins and thereby minimize the importance of Christ's sacrifice on the cross for us. Let me say that again. Satan would love us to minimize our sin and thereby minimize the importance of Christ's sacrifice for us. By the way, have you heard this horrible joke? What did one guy say to the other guy when they were sinking on the Titanic? Well, I guess we're all in the same boat. Do you know what we're saying when we come to church? Well, I guess we're all in the same boat. Did you notice that when we confess our sins, we do it together? We confess our wrongs with one another. We're all on level footing at the foot of the cross, saying together, corporately and individually, God, be merciful to me. Oh yeah, amen is right. God, be merciful to me, a poor sinful being. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the Pharisee and the publican? The Pharisee said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers. I especially say, I'm glad I'm not like this tax collector. We don't say that on Sunday. We say, as a body of believers, as a corporate fellow believing church, I say individually and I say with my fellow sinners, I am a sinner through and through, and I plead for God's grace. This is what confession is all about. And I'm so thankful that Luther kept it. Aren't you? How many of you are thankful that you're a Lutheran? Raise your hand. I mean, yeah. You go to some other church, I'm not trying to bash them, but they don't do this. They don't do this confession absolution thing. You sing some hymns, you hear a great sermon, and then you're gone, you're out. No opportunity to confess your sins, no opportunity to hear God's grace. And yes, we don't preach God's grace 52 weeks out of the year. I'd say 51 out of 52. But if we don't preach about God's grace and his love and forgiveness, at least we've heard the word of absolution from the lips of sinful men like Tim and I. Are you ready for some grace? I am. Wouldn't it be miserable if this were the end of the story? If this story ended right now, the story of the prodigal. He runs away, he's remorseful, he has his story memorized, but he never gets an opportunity to say it to his dad. This is why I don't understand folks that don't come to church regularly. Why wouldn't we want to come into God's presence every Sunday as prodigals and hear what I'm about to tell you? Because I don't know about you, but I'm a prodigal, man. I am. And some of you put me on such a pedestal, and I guess that's understandable. We wear this white stuff. But man, oh man, I'm a sinner just like you. And I can't wait to get to church, not only to see all of you, but to confess my sins and hear God tell me that I'm okay in his eyes, that he loves me just the same for the sake of his son. Oh, how I crave that, how I need that, how I'm blessed by that. And so the son comes home. The father recognizes a familiar gait of his son. He's been waiting for his son to return. Now his son comes, and the father, what? Does he wait there? Does he tap his foot? Does he say, I told you so? Oh no, not this, Dad. This is a picture of God. He runs to his son. He embraces his son. The son has his part memorized. Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. And the father, yes, he hears it, but he doesn't need to say anything about it. He says this, quick, get a robe. Put it on him, meaning you're still my son. Put a ring on his finger, signaling you're still my son. Put sandals on his feet because you're my son. My hired men, I don't buy them sandals. Kill the fattened calf. I only party for my family. Kill the fattened calf. Let's celebrate. My son that was dead now is alive. My son that was lost now is come back home. On Sunday morning, we come back home. On Sunday morning, Pastor Tim Rye stand in front of you after you've confessed your sins, and we say this: God forgives you for the sake of Jesus. He was wounded, namely the Bible says, he was wounded, Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement that brings us peace was placed upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin, the Bible says. If we confess our sins, God's faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you seen that commercial where or you go into a restaurant and you go into the restroom and you see on this little thing that cleanses your hands, 99% effective at killing germs? You ever seen something like that? I don't want a God who says 99% effective at wiping away your sin. I want all my sin wiped away. Like a handy wipe, I want God to take the slate of my sin and wipe it clean and throw away the rag, and that's what God does. What a powerful God we have. What a powerful thing it is for us to stand as sinful men before you and to say, God's heard your confession. God knows about your rebelliousness. God knows that we're all prodigals, but just the same, he forgives you for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He takes a scrub brush, namely the blood of Christ, and he wipes us clean. And we come into this place and we breathe out our sin and we breathe in love and forgiveness and grace and pardon. In essence, Jesus Christ becomes very air we breathe. What a powerful thing it is to come to church and to confess our sins and to know that God says, I've forgiven them for the sake of my son and you're still mine. There used to be a cheesy song in the 70s called Still the One. Still the One. Remember that song? God says the very same thing to you. You're still the one. And I allow the one to die for you so that you could be forgiven. And renewed and restored and refreshed and reshaped and remolded and recreated. I thank God we have confession and absolution. Because we don't hit a home run every week. We don't. As a matter of fact, I've had people come through. That was a clinker, Pastor Dave. That was a clinker. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, not every message we preach is going to apply to you directly that day. But if you come every week, probably next Sunday's will. But if you're sporadic in your church attendance, you're going to miss much of the counsel of God's word. And here's the big thing I'm talking about today. We are all prodigals during the week, and to come back into the presence of God and hear the anointed blessing of God's forgiveness and love declared by two guys that you're still loved and forgiven and you're still the one in God's eyes. Oh, how cool, how cool, how cool. Is that? Did you read my sermon before you did the children's message, by the way? Man, I didn't have to preach today. He said it all so much better in just a little 3-minute deal. I mean, and you said it, man. So we take this forgiveness, and what we do publicly, because you guys have called us to do this publicly, You know, that's part of the deal of being a pastor is you're basically saying as a called pastor to us, you guys tell us we're forgiven publicly, and we do. But what we share with you, do you know what you can do? When someone comes to you and they feel so remorseful and regretful about their life, and they say something like this, man, I am such a schmuck, I'm such a sinner, I wonder if God can forgive somebody like me. Do you know what you can say? The very same thing we say corporately on a Sunday morning, your sins are forgiven. Jesus covered that too. That's cleansed by the blood of Christ. Oh, man. And I encourage, that's the take-home point today, okay? Sometimes we don't give you take-home points. That's the one take-home point I want you to take home with you today. That you can take this grace and this love and this forgiveness and you can spread it around like fertilizer, bad analogy, spread it around to other people. Every day if you need to. Because I want to tell you, go out there in the real world, people are broken and shattered by their shame. And sometimes they don't want to recognize it. Sometimes they're not like the prodigal who recognizes, I got to go back home. And they sow their wild oats and they continue to carry out sin. And there's something that happens inside their consciousness. God has given us the Ten Commandments inside our consciousness, and they sometimes ignore it, or sometimes they feel such shame and remorse and regret. They say, if there really is a God, he would never accept somebody like me. It's those kinds of people that we can share this word with. We had a dog by the name of Luther 25 years ago in El Paso, Texas. A little toy collie, a Sheltie. But I want to tell you, Luther was a bad dog. I think he was possessed, okay? I mean, and we have such a wonderful dog now, and I've talked about it. His name's Dash, and oh my goodness. He is the antithesis to Luther, okay? So Luther one day got out, and he ran away. And he ran away, I kid you not, and you can check with my kids, he ran away for months. Months. Like 3 months. 3 months later, we hear this. We look in the door. Oh my goodness, it's Luther. And I want to tell you, he looked horrible. Luther had come back home. And we were so thankful. But you know what? What did I say about Luther? Not a good dog. We ended up about 3 weeks later saying, I remember he was nipping my daughter's rear end as she was swinging on the swing, you know, got a hold of it, and he was swinging, you know, like this. I went outside, I grabbed the dog, put him in my arms. The kids were sitting there watching TV or whatever, and I said, say goodbye to Luther, guys. Luther is gone. Here's the thing. God will never do that with us. Oh, you sin too much. You're not good. Oh, you're too broken. You've messed up too much. Say goodbye to the kid, angels. I'm hauling him away to hell. No way. No way. Have I communicated why confession and absolution is so important today? Do we get it? Got it? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your powerful word. For this incredible story that speaks to us so mightily about our own sinful life and the fact that we need your grace and your absolution and your love every week because we're prodigals during the week, God, and to come back and to see the stained glass and see the cross and hear the word. It's like coming home. Oh, God, help us to understand how powerful confession and absolution really is. Help us to take this word and put it into practice, spreading your love and forgiveness to those who need it around us. I'm not saying we're better than you or we would never do that. Not being shocked by what we hear during the week, but simply pointing people to the love and grace that's rooted in you, Lord Jesus. And all these things we pray in the name of you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.